Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. It's a beautiful afternoon. Welcome to the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. As everybody knows, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. We've got a great doubleheader today. Everybody knows I'm a sports doctor. I love to feature some of the superstars in podiatry. We've got one of them today, Dr. Doug Ritchie. Nationally known sports podiatrist. He's the president of Ritchie Technologies. He's the creator of the Ritchie foot ankle brace, which is sold, I think, in 7 or 8 countries, the former president of the American Academy of Podiatric Sports Medicine. Then we're going to talk about the epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries, a couple of other key factors from my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Then we'll have the Sports Doctors In segment, answer some emails. First, let's welcome Dr. Doug Ritchie. Again, Dr. Ritchie is the Associate Clinical Professor of Biomechanics at California School of Podiatric Medicine at Samuel Merritt College. Hey, Dr. Doug, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Well, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Give us a little bit of background, Doug, with you. And your sports medicine, sports podiatry practice?
Sure. Well, I went to podiatry school in the late 70s, that's 1970s, at the California College of Podiatric Medicine, and I was greatly influenced by some of the pioneers in podiatric sports medicine who were actually on the faculty at the school then. One of the very first lectures I ever heard was from Harry Levack, who had just written his book called The Foot Book. And Steve Subotnick lectured us, and Tom Scarlato. And these guys were all treating high-level athletes with relatively simple, non-surgical, biomechanical interventions, and not only getting great success, but gathering a huge following of runners in the San Francisco Bay Area who kind of discovered that podiatrists were really their best friend in terms of not only treating injuries, but preventing injuries. And it was such an inspiration to see their practices and see how they practiced and see what an influence they had on their patients. I knew in my mind that's what I wanted to do once I finished my residency, and that's pretty much what I did. I set up my practice in Seal Beach, California in 1981, and I immediately went out and interfaced with the sports community to get referrals, and it was a slow process, but in the end I developed a very large and thriving sports medicine practice, which I carried out for 37 years.
Give or take a few weeks. Yeah, Steve Subotnick has been on the Sports Doctor 2 or 3 different times in the past. Again, one of the pioneers, Dr. Lowell Weil, my namesake, another one, and I'm sure, again, you're singing to the community. The foot bones connected to the ankle bones, connected to the knee bone. It's still news in this day and age when we talk about the role of the foot in sports. And today, Dr. Ritchie, you know, the sports podiatry is a big part of almost every serious team. They're a big part of the sports medicine team. That wasn't really always the case in that regard. So talk a little bit about your background, again, in biomechanics, the role of orthotics, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Ritchie brace.
Yeah, well, kind of along the lines of what you said, in the early 80s, podiatrists weren't necessarily included in the so-called sports medicine team of certainly of the major universities, and some of the pro teams already had recognized the value of a sports podiatrist, but it was still kind of pioneering work to get out there and show other healthcare professionals what we knew and what we could contribute. And I think really the foundation of that was biomechanics. Because when I would interface with the athletic trainer or the physical therapist or even the orthopedic surgeon of an athletic team, I could talk on a level that many of them didn't even understand. In other words, I was able to talk about how the foot and the entire lower extremity functioned and how that played a role in injury and in treatment of injury. And they couldn't rise to that level. It was an immediate expertise and recognition of what I could contribute that enabled me to join the team and be part of a sports medicine team on several levels. And I really attribute it to the knowledge of biomechanics, which I learned as a student, and then kind of had to continue to follow up and continue learning, because in the 80s, biomechanics just blossomed in terms of the scope of
understanding. Yes, before then. Particularly in footwear.
I mean, yes. The shoe industries were funding these biomechanics research labs, and they were just funneling all kinds of new knowledge and insight that we had to read on the outside to learn about.
Of course, biomechanics for everybody is the way everything works together, the way the joints, the muscles, the tendons, the alignment, the stability, all of these things that go into the mechanical marvel that really starts on the ground. If you don't have a solid foundation, then many times the areas above are affected. All these years later, now we almost say, I know you agree with me, almost any persistent lower extremity problem, whether it's your back, whether it's your knees, whether it's your hips, ankles, it's related to the function of the foot. And I think this was the revelation that you probably were banging away with some of these other docs all of those years ago. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, live from Chicago. You can go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you zip over to radio shows, you can go back over 10 years. The shows before that on Reel to Reel, we have in a vault somewhere. A couple other decades before. You could see who was on. We have guests from all over the world, as well as locally, nationally, and you could pick a topic, listen to whatever you would like. You could go over to newspaper articles and magazines. You could read some of the different articles that I've published and associated with my newest sponsor group. I know you're very familiar with Dr. Richie, Lower Extremity Review, our friend Rich Dubin. We have a lot of followers on Twitter. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter. We have over 30,000 followers, and if you want to jump in, we have a lot of great information on all aspects, sports medicine, fitness, wellness, at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. One of the most innovative devices in podiatry, in sports podiatry also, has been the Richie Brace, this foot-ankle brace, in order to enhance stability of the foot-ankle, deal with the specific tendon dysfunctions. Talk a little bit about how that got started.
Yeah, it really got started out of a perceived need. I would treat a lot of athletes who were already wearing custom foot orthotics, and along the way they would suffer an injury where I would have to put them in an ankle brace. A very popular brace is the air stirrup type brace. And I would put them in the air stirrup brace, but then they couldn't wear their foot orthotic because the two wouldn't mesh together or fit well in the shoe.
Yeah, and the famous air cast.
The air cast. And so it became apparent, is there any way we could connect this foot orthotic to an air cast? And then we would have one functional unit. And that's pretty much what I tried to do. It actually took a while to get the fabrication process down. But the key was the foot orthotic itself followed the same biomechanics principles that I was taught in school that made podiatric foot orthotics unique and different from
That's what I've always thought, Doug, from the beginning, that was innovative and unique, was that there's a million ankle braces, maybe a million and a half, but none incorporated the role of the orthotic, which has such to do with alignment, positioning, and I think that particular combination is what really made such a difference. Besides protecting, quote-unquote, the ankle, you were also enhancing the whole foot-ankle alignment What's the best website, Dr. Ritchie, for people to find out about the brace, you, and all these different things you're doing?
It's just basically richiebrace.com.
Okay, richiebrace.com?
That's correct.
I understand the braces, it's like in seven countries they're available. I know in so many different orthotics labs. That's got to be really exciting for you.
It is exciting. And, you know, we get inquiries literally all over the world from folks who want to get the brace because they've read testimonials or stories about it. And it's a little frustrating right now because the brace is custom fabricated, and we have to have a lab that's brought up to speed on how to make it and have that lab locally available to these patients in many times third world countries. But with the advent of scanning and 3D printing, we think we're going to be able to deliver this brace in very remote locations around the world really within the next 2 years. Right now,
That's exciting. We
use labs located in the United Kingdom, Canada, and Australia, and like you said, we're in seven countries, but we think we can do a lot more once the technology is available.
Yeah, you know, the sports doctors repeated the following week on UK Health Radio, so we'll definitely give you a plug out there in England. I know you, like myself, Dr. Ritchie, have paid a tremendous amount of attention to strengthening the foot and ankle. You know, it's interesting, when you started, I even predate you. You would see whatever the team was, whatever the level was, you know, how much can you bench press? How big are your arms? Let's talk about this. But nobody really was strengthening the foot ankle with any real attention. Right. Talk about the importance of that.
Well, you know, that's really become a very hot topic in biomechanics. Lower extremity biomechanics is the role of strengthening not only the ankle, but the intrinsic muscles of the foot, the muscles that run through the arch and the bottom of the foot. We're just now learning from really good research what we always suspected, and that is that the arch of our feet isn't just held up by ligaments. It's very much supported and controlled by muscle activity. And we've learned that we can tune and strengthen these muscles to improve foot function in a way that kind of augments what we were doing all along with foot orthotic therapy and other measures.
Yeah, I was very fortunate to meet my mentor, Bob Guida, who virtually invented rubber bands, which was such a fantastic way. I'll tell you, my pearl from the sports doctor for you is to take a look at the sand dune stepper. When you talk about intrinsic muscle to the foot, this is a device that simulates walking on the sand. Of course, you're out in that neck of the world that you can really walk on the sand. But the ability to strengthen the foot with the sand-like resistance, and of course, we've now seen that it's become strengthening the foot and ankle, hopefully a very, very routine part of all types of training. You know, you like I, we used to see half the girls and females we'd see in the office with knee problems, and they were coming to include orthotics in that situation. I still think that's a secret. It's one of my big pet peeves on the sports doctors, that there's still 5 or 6 to 1 ACL serious knee injuries, girls to boys, women to men. And we still don't see enough attention paid to the biomechanics of the wider hips, different torques, you know, of the foot and ankle in that regard. So I guess you're enjoying giving back to the school. Are you still doing some as a clinical professor? California College of Podiatric Medicine really was the instigator of the world of biomechanics when you were there.
Yeah, I was just at the school last week. I spent the whole day there lecturing. We actually put on a seminar in memory of Paul Scheer, who was actually one of my instructors at the school, who passed away earlier this year. And we staged a full-day biomechanics seminar. And it was wonderful because a lot of his close friends and colleagues gave up time out of their practice to come in and give a lecture just gratis. We actually raised some money to start a new biomechanics fellowship at the school. And so things are really happening there, and I'm still very involved and very proud to be part of the faculty.
Yes, I think it's one of the big challenges of podiatry, Dr. Ritchie, which is everybody and their uncle is doing orthotics. On the internet, you go into a running store, there's 12 rows of orthotics. And, of course, we both know there's a big difference between something that's over the counter and something that's done custom, ideally by podiatry. You know, as podiatry has become such a surgical scenario and profession, and I know there's been a lot of attention to making sure that biomechanics and the role of the foot, there are a few things in medicine, Dr. Ritchie, if any, that affect more parts of the body like orthotics. Do you know of any?
Well, none as simple as that. that's for sure. And it's funny, we spent a good deal of time at that seminar last week kind of updating all the research that's been done on how foot orthotics work and the great outcomes we get from it. And we all agreed that it's still kind of a hidden secret that needs to be shared and embraced by all medical specialties and recognize the difference between what a podiatric balanced foot orthosis is compared to a simple little arch support that you buy on the internet.
Yes, I like to make an analogy sometimes when people ask about that all the time. I say, you know, if you need glasses, if you want to go to Walgreens to get a pair of readers, great. Maybe it works for you. That's how I look at over-the-counter devices. But if you need bifocals or you need a prescription, then you want to get a prescription, you know, ideally. And that's, I think, is going to be one of the challenges for podiatry to go along. I don't know if you have any time, Dr. Ritchie, to maybe to hang around for another 8-minute segment after this, do you?
I do.
Okay, great. And maybe we'll, because we're going to run out of time in a minute or so, and want to keep you on, talk a little bit more about the role of orthotics and the teammateship of the sports podiatrist on the whole sports medicine team. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, we're going to be back. Grab another segment with Dr. Doug Ritchie. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody. We are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. and we're talking with sports podiatrist Dr. Doug Ritchie. We're out there on the West Coast, past president of the American Academy of Podiatric Sports Medicine. He's a clinical professor at the California School of Podiatric Medicine. He is the inventor of the Ritchie brace, now available in seven countries, like he was mentioning. I wanted to talk to you, Dr. Ritchie, again about enhancing performance. I like to say you want to be a step quicker, you want better balance, you want sharper edges in skating or skiing, look seriously at custom orthotics. Is that something? I know that I've read so many of your articles that you make a big deal. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I it's interesting to hear your own experience, Bob, because early on I joined ACE, even though I practiced in Southern California, I was invited to become part of a group practice in Aspen, Colorado, where I would go up and work one day, one or two days a month, and treat a lot of high-level skiers, alpine skiers mostly, but then slowly Nordic ski racers too. And I gained an immediate appreciation for how balancing the foot inside of the skate or the boot or the ski boot enhanced performance, simply because it was a like I said, a balancing intervention where the foot instantly became more stable and the athlete could transmit force through their leg into the ski edge more efficiently. It was just very obvious, and later studies showed that. And it was a much more immediate and gratifying response than really treating runners, where we still aren't sure how foot orthotics affect running efficiency, sometimes in a negative way because they add some weight to the shoe. But in an edging sport like skating or skiing, their results are immediate and they're felt by the patient right away, which made things really nice, a really gratifying experience from a clinical standpoint to see that kind of improvement in a performance way, not so much in just an injury way.
Yes, plus the fact I think it's one of our best weapons in preventing injuries. Yes. And I always make a big deal about adding aggressive strengthening of the whole lower extremity. You know, in my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, I talk about two essential exercises. I don't care what the age is. I don't care what the sport is. I don't care what the level is. And those two exercise concepts, Dr. Ritchie, are strengthen the feet and ankles like rubber bands and work balance, work proprioception. And it's funny because when foot surgery was such a big deal back in the beginning with us, you had nobody strengthening the foot. They weren't even doing any rehabilitation after foot surgery, you know, in that regard. So I guess, you know, we in a lot of ways we've come a long way, baby.
We right? have. Well, you know, it's interesting. If we look at all the studies of foot orthotic effects, what we've really come to appreciate, where we've seen the most dramatic improvements, it's in balance and proprioception. While we like to think foot orthotics align the foot and realign the lower extremity, which they do to some degree, it may be that their most profound effect is really what they're doing to the peripheral and central nervous system, in terms of enhancing sensory feedback on the bottom of the foot, and in so doing, activating muscles properly, which then make the lower extremity more stable.
And that's such a big deal. You know, when you're talking about the senior population, Dr. Ritchie, and the incredible attention today of fall prevention, exactly what you're talking about is one of the most important aspects, which, again, many times is ignored, with attention being elsewhere besides that fact of can you enhance that individual's positional stability and make a difference in that sensory perception. You know, getting back to figure skating, I've never had a coach in 40 years call me up and say, you know, Dr. Weil, I think you slowed the kid down, ever. And I'll bet you never had. I'll bet you never had a skiing coach tell you that either when it came to those kinds of. Because, again, in sports medicine, it seems, Dr. Ritchie, there's only two things everybody cares about, whether you're the coach or the parents or the athlete. The main one is, can I prevent problems? Can I prevent injuries? Especially overuse injuries which have so much to do with malalignment and some of these biomechanical problems. And the other thing for those who are in this area is enhanced performance. These are the two areas that are such a big deal. I'm sure you've watched some of the same things I have before we run out of time also, which is, again, the explosion of the pressure on youth sports and the epidemic of overuse injuries and other kinds of problems. It seems to be. Now, you're on the West Coast where the weather's great all the time, and you must be smack in the middle of overkill and overuse, I would imagine. That's a challenge.
Yeah, you know, the biggest change I've seen, and I don't, it may not just be West Coast, but, you know, and when I went to high school, every kid did two or three sports. It wasn't unusual for the good athletes to earn a letter in basketball, football, and baseball. And
oh, yeah, you remember those letter sweaters?
Yeah. And what the biggest thing I've seen over the last 20 years out here is the kids specialize very young, and they do one sport.
Yes.
And they
now, you know what I call them, Doug?
What?
I have a chapter in my book for that. I call it the prodigy sports. Think your skating's one of them. Think ballet, think gymnastics, even tennis or soccer, where you have a boy or girl 12, 13 years old. Dr. Ritchie, I don't want to play other sports. I know you want me to, but I don't want to. This is a special category, but this has been one of the big bugaboos, is, again, this explosion of specialization because youth sports have become such a big business.
Yep. And the specialization fails to allow them to develop full muscle development, full coordination, full neuromuscular control, and it comes back and haunts them. I'm convinced.
Yes, and I think for these special kids, I always recommend, I want a physical therapist or a specific personal trainer to give them a program. My famous therapist friend Bob Guider used to say, strengthen the opposites, work the brakes. Because these problems, do you know that 15% of Tommy John surgery today is done on teenagers? So, you know, this still, you see, still today with all this attention, we see all of this tremendous overuse in so many different ways. So I think there's a term I like a lot, Dr. Ritchie. It's called intelligent rest. I'm sure you pay big attention to the art of recovery also when we're talking. And then I ask you also, as a sports podiatrist, of course, how's your sports psychology skills dealing with the coaches and the parents and the kids?
Well, you know, it's something we weren't trained in school, but it's something we had to learn pretty quickly if we were going to get out there and play in that arena, is dealing with all of those different players in that whole game, yes.
Especially if you're dealing with professionals, or like if you were out in Aspen, you're dealing with some of these pre-Olympic, Olympic hopefuls and others in the world of skiing where, you know, Dr. Ritchie, can you get me better yesterday? It also brings up another chapter. I hate to keep on breaking about the book. Youth sports and drugs. It's such a problem and challenge where you've got so many of these kids living on over-the-counter medicine. And I tell parents all the time, if your son or daughter needs pain medicine in order to participate, you're over the line. Do you see that challenge also in your practice with this? You know, we're a take-a-pill society, man. We're one of only two countries in the world that allow television advertising of prescription drugs. So do you see that as a big problem also?
Oh, absolutely. You know, to kind of dovetail on what you said, I've treated athletes at all levels, professional level, Olympic level, NC2A level. And I found that the easiest athletes to get to rest were the professional and high-level athletes. They would listen to me, and they would not have a rigid timetable to get back to play. The worst people to deal with in terms of failure to understand the need to recover were the youth athletes and their parents.
Right.
They were the ones putting pressure to get the kid back tomorrow. It wasn't my NC2A coach trying to get their athlete back. It seems like the higher level the athlete became, the more they appreciated the need to listen to the doctor and fully recover before they went back to activity. But we didn't.
Yes.
We don't see that in youth sports at all, and that's what's frustrating.
Yes, it's a real challenge, again, because of these pressures with traveling teams, younger and younger. the club teams, and again, this push towards specialization. You know, if you see last year, the national women's figure skating champion was 15 years old. When you're watching the Olympics and you see a 17, 18-year-old Olympian, you know, this kid's been doing their sport since they're like 4, 5, 6 years old, and it ain't for everybody. And it's a real family affair in so many different areas. And I use a term, I call it intelligent rest. I think it takes into account all these things that you've just mentioned. You know, the importance of time off, especially with a lot of these overkill pressures on some of these young athletes. Have you found the medical community or the school community, the coaches rather, et cetera, really tuning in to the value of sports podiatry, Doug?
Very much. Very much today. It's so much better today because it's recognized what we do, what we contribute. And like you said, you won't see a high-level sports team without a sports podiatrist on their staff. And many times you'll see the sports podiatrist really acting as almost as the team physician in many cases. I've seen that more recently.
Yeah, they could be a good quarterback. You know, I could refer to the chiropractic physician. I could talk to the sports psychologist. You know, 95% of sports medicine ain't surgical. It's
exactly.
All of these different kinds of injuries and overuse injuries, acute injuries. So many times, you know, the team physician over the years was always the orthopedic surgeon. And when it came to corrective exercise and rehab, many times they didn't know how to spell it. You know, and it became a definite challenge. So often podiatry, you know, could fit that role because we were always in the role of trying to enhance that type of team spirit. What's the website again, Doug? People could find out about you, the Brace, other info.
It's richiebrace.com, RichieBrace.com.
Great. The time flew by. Again, past president, the American Academy of Podiatric Sports Medicine, truly one of the pioneers and leaders in sports podiatry in our country and internationally, Dr. Doug Ritchie, thanks so much for joining me. Doug, hold on 1 second. We'll be right back, everybody, to Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, back in action, live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Again, you can go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You could go to radio shows and see who the guests were, see what the topics were, and listen to whatever you would like. You could go over to newspaper articles and magazines. There's so many different articles. I spent 5, 6, 7 years writing monthly articles for some of our local newspapers. There's a definite grouping of articles on the Great Lower Extremity Review magazine. And you can check out one of my most notorious articles, which is Women in High Heels Accepting the Challenge. We want to talk on this segment about some of the aspects, questions I get revolving around the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, and the actual topic. We were talking briefly with Dr. Ritchie, the epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries. Now, again, there's two types of injuries. There's acute injuries, injuries that just happened. Wow, I sprained an ankle. Gee, I got hit with the ball. gee, I really twisted my knee. It's an acute injury. And that's a different animal than overuse injuries, which don't necessarily have a identifiable incident. I don't remember when it started bothering me, these ankles, but, you know, every time I'm doing a lot of running or et cetera, and the overuse injuries and acute injuries are both big-time concerns in the hyper world of youth sports. Today, youth sports is like a $15, $16 billion-a-year industry with coaches, special training programs, traveling teams, et cetera. One of the most profound parts of the second section of the book, The Sports Doctor's In, is about the use of ice. And I quote my colleague, Gary Reinel, who is a trainer of champions, every major sports league, the Olympic level, the NCAA level. Gary Reinel has dealt with working with some of these particular athletes, and he spent a aggressive amount of time a few years ago really researching what, if anything, ice is effective for, and it was amazing. He calls it the illusionary treatment option, because besides numbing an area that you might have injured, and you can't watch a sport without seeing ice bags and ice packs, et cetera, routinely going to physical therapists and put ice on it, put ice on it. And the reality is that besides numbing an area, ice retards the body's natural ability to heal. The ability to exchange fluids in and out of an injured area many times is retarded by shutting down that circulation with cold therapy. Gary talks about muscle activation, the capability of stimulating muscle action. Imagine there's a ankle injury, and there might be attention to moving the toes, there might be attention to moving the knee around or the actual area, not painfully, but movement to stimulate waste products out of the injured area, healing blood and other fluids into the area. And this has gotten tremendous attention. They call Gary the anti-ice man. He still has plenty of resistance, but I definitely talk about that being a better way. You might use ice initially for some numbing. After that, you want to back off and actually start working with some muscle activation with peripheral areas in order to stimulate healing. You know, overkill, we talked about it with Dr. Ritchie, is a big problem in youth sports. Overscheduling, too many games, sometimes playing too many games over a weekend where we start running into, again, the overuse problems. Throwing too many pitches, jumping too many times, imagine in figure skating, you know, running on that tennis court just too aggressively day after day, playing one soccer game after another. And sometimes adults forget that young growing bodies are different than adult bodies. They heal differently. They can be more susceptible to different kinds of problems. So the education continues. This was one of the big reasons we wrote the book, because of this epidemic involved in youth sports. One of our problems, I touched on it in our earlier interview with Dr. Ritchie, is that the chapter called Youth Sports and Drugs, where we will have so many young athletes depending on over-the-counter, the ibuprofen, the naproxen, the Tylenols, over-the-counter pain medicines to participate. Now, these over-the-counter medicines, especially when supervised, definitely have some value and can be very, very helpful. But the bottom line is, if your son or daughter needs these pain medicines to participate, you're over the line. You need to back off. You can't push these kids. And many times we'll see that the pressure is on. You know, Dr. Weil, my son's got a tournament coming up this weekend and he needs two Advil twice a day because his knees are killing him, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a big problem. And like I mentioned with Dr. Ritchie, the United States is one of only two countries in the world, New Zealand's the other one, that even allows television advertising of prescription drugs. Think about it. This gives us this mindset. We grow up with the understanding, the thinking that there's a pill for everything. And Big Pharma is a gigantic aspect of our lives, to say the least. And I don't even have to mention the pain pill, prescription pain pill, opioid crisis, which has killed 60, 70,000 people a year. And it starts early, the reliance on some of these pain medicines, you know, no pain, no gain, and some of these other stupid myths that we all grew up with. So again, mom and dad, if this is the case, you need pain medicine for your son or daughter, you got to back off. You need to have some good communication. It's one of the reasons I have some great guests on from the world of youth sports, the National Alliance of Youth Sports, iSport 360, with Ian Goldberg, where he talks about the importance of communicating between parents and the coaches in order to be able to discuss some of these different things. You got to be a good listener, sports parent. If your son or daughter is complaining about a problem, instead of ignoring it or trying to push through it. And the bringing together of experts was another big deal as part of the book. Even though I emphasize in the sports doctors in, do you know that 50% of us, adults and kids, are not even fit properly for their shoes? This is a big deal. We tell parents all the time, make sure your son or daughter is in a shoe that's designed for the sport, number one, and make sure that they're fit properly, number two. Make sure you're fit properly. You know, sometimes they say, well, you know, I'm size 9.5. I always was, and I'm going to order it online. We took 5 pairs of shoes off the shelf that were all size 9, they'd all be slightly different. So you really want to be measured and making sure that shoe fits you properly. In some of these different areas of expertise in Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, we bring together experts talking about nutrition. We bring together experts talking about mental training. Everybody who listens to the sports doctor knows how much attention I pay to the mental game, whether it is the high performance of a very, very serious athlete, whether it is the mindset of an athlete trying to come back from an injury, that type of challenge, and the whole aspect of attitude and mindfulness. So this becomes a big deal. Last week, we had an exciting guest on, Sarah Auster. Sound therapy called sound bath, the ability to relax to music and calm down and recover. So these are some things that are all hashtag Hey Sports Parents. It's on Amazon, and it's the sports doctor, everybody. But we will be back for our last segment on the Sports Doctor's Inn. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, and this is the Sports Doctors In segment where we talk about some upcoming guests and topics, answer a few emails. Next week, we're going to really be talking a lot about CBD, the whole aspect of the very exciting world of the cannabis non-THC CBD. We've got Pete Rutili. Pete is a vice president of Acme Sports, National Hockey League, a coaches group, and he'll be our first guest. And returning, Paul Dagnino. Paul is the creator of iCor, all aspects of CBD development and products, as well as American Moda, dealing with different aspects of some of the different testing and products in the world of CBD. Following week, we're going to get the returning Barry French Jr. He's the creator of Tracer, the motion analysis group that's very involved in preventing injuries, high-performance sports analysis, motion analysis. They're also very big in the physical therapy world and fall prevention. And then Michael Warach, SC Index, analytics, assessments, and feedback, again, in the world of youth sports. So we've got some great guests, as always, coming up. Checking out some emails here. Fran says, are high heels harmful? You know, Fran, besides telling you to go to my article at sportsdoctorradio.com, newspaper articles, women in high heels accepting the challenge, high heels, especially higher heels, maybe 2 inches and higher, change the whole posture, Fran. Not only do they put excessive pressure on the ball of the foot, depending on how high that heel is, many times they're jamming the ball, the foot, into a very, very narrow, pointy toe box, which causes all sorts of havoc with women who might have bunions or hammer toes. Once you go above about an inch and a half in heel height, you're really changing posturally the stress to the knees and low back. So you want to understand that you can be causing all sorts of problems with consistent wearing of heels. So the following recommendations. Do some variety in the heel height. Don't live in the same heel height all the time. You can almost shorten the Achilles tendon and calf muscles if for years and years you've been wearing the same height of heels. Get some variety in there. Make sure that you're not a big stiletto wearer. Wear heels that have some sort of base to them, so that we're not a risk for spraining ankles. Strengthening the feet and ankles, strengthening your core and lower extremity is one of the great ways to stay out of trouble if you're wearing high heels, because there's so much stress on those ankles. So again, try to wear a shoe that's not too dramatic. You know, they used to say over the years that high heels were designed by men who didn't have to wear them, you know, and it's definitely got some truth to it. So pay attention, give yourself some room in the ball of the foot. Don't live in them, mix it up. Steve says, my son's a 15-year-old hockey player. You've talked a lot about skating and orthotics and speed. Yes, I have, Steve, and this is a big plus. See Sports Podiatry, check out custom orthotics and skates. This usually is a big step up because you're putting the foot and ankle in its optimum alignment. So the efficiency of holding edges, the ability of getting that foot, ankle, knee alignment when you're pushing off, that your foot, ankle's not going one way, your knees the other, especially if you've got pronated feet. So even if your son doesn't have foot problems, even if he doesn't have knee or back problems, orthotics, again, like I mentioned in the first segment with Dr. Ritchie, I've never had a coach in the world of skating, hockey, speed, or figure skating call me up and say, you know, you slowed the kid down. You messed up their balance. Orthotics done properly, quote unquote, big step up. The other key is strengthening his feet and ankles. You get this kid to be a step or two quicker. Harriet says, I've had hammered toes. I have corns. Are these surgical problems? On occasion, Harriet, podiatry has been around for 100 years, give or take a few weeks, trimming corns and calluses, keeping people comfortable, seeing them every month or two. When that's not effective, or when someone says, can I get this problem fixed, surgery is very successful in straightening out hammered toes. It is not the first option, especially if you're active and you're an athlete looking to prevent surgery. So get some good opinions regarding what your problem is, what your options are. And sometimes it starts with the shoes that give your toes room, that are deep enough to not put pressure. Hammer toes, the contraction of the toes that can rub in the shoes. Corns can be the hard buildup of tissue either on the top of the knuckle or on the tip of the toe that can be problematic. Jim says, I'm a 40-year-old runner. I've had plantar fasciitis on and off. The doctor talked about cortisone injections. That's not my first option, Jim. My first option is many times physical therapy, strengthening, and looking at the role of orthotics. What's your foot type? What type of shoe are you in? Plantar fasciitis is the most common problem we see in podiatry and sports podiatry. Inflammation, pain of the plantar fascia, the fan-like muscle tendon that goes from the toes to the heel. Many times it's heel-related where the discomfort is. So support of that foot is very, very important. Ideally, custom orthotics. Sometimes we'll see that an over-the-counter arch support can be helpful. Injections can be one of the weapons, but I'm not a fan of that as the first option. Repeated injections is a no-no. They can cause some degeneration of the tissues. So it's got a role, but many times it's not my first choice. We might be talking about, let's take some over-the-counter anti-inflammatory medicine. Let's get some intelligent rest. Let's check out your foot type and the shoe that you're in, much smarter. Steve says, my 18-year-old daughter, persistent ingrown toenails. You know, these can be corrected, Steve. It's a simple office procedure, podiatry, numb up the side of the toe, that offensive ingrown toenail. Toenails grow from under the cuticle. They go back behind the cuticle. And there's lots of innervated nerves in that area, and you're trying to clip this out. Hurts. Often they can get infected. So they can be corrected by removing the offending edge, not the whole nail. Maybe that 16th or 8th of an inch of the nail, cauterizing many times with a chemical, the growth cells that are underneath that cuticle, so the nail stays the same, but the ingrown toenail doesn't grow back. Ingrown toenails are common. We don't need correction, or if it's the first episode, but you mentioned the word persistent, and I'd get them fixed. She'll be a much happier kid. And bingo, we are just about out of time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. Catch you next week.